When I bought the business, obviously I started as a cleaning franchisee on my own. My husband was still in the coal mines working night shift. Very quickly, it just exploded. Basically, had a great income. I had all my kids employed and their partners and friends and family. And then I became a franchisor. We have two houses now. I bought him an aeroplane. So now he's got two.
So thank you for joining us today, Sharon. Now, Sharon's a bit of a gym's legend. So if you don't know Sharon Connell, Sharon's been with Cleaning First and then Cleaning Franchisor, then sold out, wanted a new challenge, and now hook up Jim's Dog Watch when it was like, what, 30 or 40 franchisees? How many was it?
It's about 54 when I took over.
54, and now it's at 220 or 200?
We're almost about to get to 260. We're 260. So close. Yes, yes. 257.
And now this was in a space of around probably 5 years, 4 years?
Yeah,
so a very, very remarkable bit of growth. And I would say this, in so many franchise systems in Australia, there's like 1,600. I'd say the growth, what you've done in your division, would probably be one of the biggest or the quickest in that space of time. I don't think there's anyone else to rival that, to be honest. So well done to yourself and what you've been able to do. Now, people might have seen your interview before we did back in 2019. That was a long, long time ago, and a lot's happened in that space. So Sharon, let's just start with a bit about where you are currently and talk about what your role is within Jim's Dog Wash.
So I'm the divisional, but I also look after recruitment, which is probably my passion. I love meeting new franchisees. I love seeing them go through that journey. It's something that I'm really passionate about, and I really, really enjoy it. We've got a really good support team now. It's done in-house at National, and there's on-ground support, there's franchisors, it's such a good model that we're using, and it means that franchisees don't have to share me with sales to get support. They've got a designated support person, and support is such a big thing in gyms. It really is.
For sure. Now let's talk about your in recruitment. So obviously you speak with a lot of people and you help a lot of people get started in their businesses. So maybe you just want to run through the offering from Jim's Dog Wash, and what do you sort of tell people about when they're interested in it? What are the things that you're sort of answering for them, and what do you tell them about being a franchisee?
I think that the really interesting thing is a lot of people think that the money is the decider. So I get a lot of people saying, I just need to know how much. I just need to know how much. But what they find out afterwards, the money's not the important thing. What it is going out in the trailer and making sure that you like it. That is so important. And Dog Wash, more than any other division, we get people that are really passionate about animals, love animals so much, but they're not really suited to running a grooming business, because we hold dogs down. We cut their nails. We do things that they don't like being done to them. And some people, it hurts their soul to do it. So more than anything, before we even really do too much with money and finances and all of that stuff, we get them out in the trailer as soon as we can. There's no obligation, but it's a really important step in that research to make sure that it's going to be a good fit for them.
Yeah, so first thing is, when someone inquires, the first thing, as you said, is rather than talk about all the details, just go in the trailer first and see if you like it. And then that's the pre-qualifier to then go down the next step.
We do have a quick chat just to go through the basics, how the guaranteed income work, how our fee structure works, and about the pricing and the packaging. But it's really only a very brief meeting, because more than anything, if they get out in the trailer and they don't like it for any reason, none of that really matters to anybody. We need to make sure that it's a good fit.
And I'll say to people listening that if you want to check out Jim's Dog Wash interviews, we've got a lot on the Jim's podcast. There's a heap of different dog wash franchisees we interviewed, and it's great to talk to them, and they outline it for themselves as well. And it's interesting, like you would think it's the monetary thing they always say about being the first thing they like. It's always probably the third or fourth thing. It's generally lifestyle and freedom, and they love working with dogs. And then financially is always the last thing they love.
It's a nice bonus.
Exactly. As they say, it's a nice bonus. And the great thing about dog wash is you've got so many different people from different backgrounds. It's not just you've ever got some maybe independent groomers who've come across, but there's been like an ex-assistant principal. There's been like TAFE teachers. There's been a whole bunch of different career backgrounds who've completely shifted into dog wash. And they always say the same thing. The training's fantastic. So do you want to outline a bit about how anyone, if they do have a passion for dogs, the process that you guys have in place can bring them to be a mobile dog grooming franchisee?
So the first thing we do, obviously, is business training down in Melbourne. And I think that's really important, so they do have a good understanding of the business as well. I think one of the problems that Jim's Dog Wash had before I took over, they recruited just people who love dogs. And what would happen is they love dogs, but they didn't get that business knowledge. They didn't get the business support and all of that important thing to make sure they were successful. So the business training is really, really important. On the fourth day, we do divisional training, and that's where we learn all about pet first aid and all the ins and outs of running, you know, your business once you get back home. The grooming training we do is quite full on. The biggest thing with grooming training is not so much learning to groom, is getting the confidence to groom. So generally they'll be doing, it's a one-on-one training, and they'll be doing, you know, between 3 and 5 dogs a day, every day for 2 weeks. And that gives them the confidence. They're not going to be experts at the end of it, but it gives them those foundations of that confidence to then be able to go out and practice and practice and get experience. The first time you get a pair of scissors near a dog's eyes is kind of terrifying. If you were learning dog grooming on a mannequin, for example, you'd pick it up very quickly, but the animals move and they lick scissors at the very wrong time and all of that kind of stuff. So we teach you how to be confident, how to handle the animal, how to groom it. I mean, you could be the best groomer in the world, but if the dog doesn't stand still, it doesn't matter. So we teach you how to handle the animal, how to restrain the dog properly, how to learn, you know, what the dog's telling you and whether you can do those things or whether you shouldn't. So that it's a very full-on training session. And then after that, there's ongoing support. So a lot of the regions have on-ground support people now, and they are experienced franchisees that are still operating. So if ever there's an issue, and quite often it'll happen, just FaceTime your on-ground support person and say, look, I've got this issue with the dog, and they will talk you through what to do. The support in dog wash, I think, is the biggest reason for our growth and why we're doing so well.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of franchisees from dog washing. Yeah, the support they always mention as well, and they love the training and how they can just call anyone about a particular breed or what to do here, and, yep, and someone's always willing to help. I think that's a really good part of the culture of gyms, which people might not know from the outside, is that support from franchisees willing to help you regardless of what your division in, take time out of their day to do it as well, and not, yep, expect anything in return. I think it's a really big part.
When new people start, one of the things they always say is, oh, there's someone in my area, I don't want to step on their toes. Mm. But what they find is once they come on board, everyone says, oh, thank God, goodness you're here. I've got all these jobs I can't take care of. Here you go. Can you take them? But then it's better to have someone in your area. Firstly, from a support perspective, if your dryer breaks down, there's always someone nearby that can come and help you. If you've got a problem with the dog, franchisees love helping each other, and it's such an amazing division. Well, it's all of gyms, but dog wash is so amazing to be part of because our focus is on the animal's welfare. So everyone will jump in and help. The second thing is the more franchisees in the area, the better, because there's a lot of advertising and brand knowledge. So you tend to get more work in the areas where there is already somebody, which kind of seems weird compared to what happens outside of gyms.
Yeah, it's a great division. And I think especially even in training, there's a great bond with all the dog wash franchisees, and Jim always mentions it all the time during training.
Noisy ones.
Yes, that's exactly what he always yahooing and stuff is what he always says. But I was going to say as well, with your division, it's not just a sole trader division. Do you want to talk about the ability for them to expand and just use some examples maybe of franchisees who have started as a sole trader and what they've done with their businesses?
That's one of the beautiful things that have come as the division has grown. We have quite a few of our franchisees have an employee of some description. So it might be just having someone to work on weekends while you're not working, and then that person can fill in, you know, whatever, if you have time off or whatever it might be. There are some franchisees that have taken it a step further. Liz Cotton, I think you've met her. She's an absolutely amazing franchisee. She started maybe 2 years ago. I can't actually remember now. Started as a franchisee, had a very successful business, and then she's kind of then grown from there. Now she's got, I think, 5 or 6 trailers on the road, and we have the opportunity where they can do rent to buy. So they basically rent a trailer from gyms, put a subcontractor in, and those people then operate their businesses kind of with Liz looking after them, but independently as well as subcontractors. She also hires her trailer out 3 days a week. So she works in her trailer, and then the other day she lets somebody else operate. And that person eventually will develop to then be able to get their own trailer. She's got a real career progression for her employees as well, which is really good. I've got another franchisee in Melbourne, James, and he's a very good franchisee as well. I think last count they had 9 employees, and he's still wanting to grow. He manages it very well. His passion is employing people, and that's just what he loves to do. His wife runs the actual franchise, so she has her own trailer, and he recruits and employs people. So there's the opportunity to kind of grow in whatever way people want to grow, which is, yeah, one of the best things about gym as well.
Interviewing Jade, who's got her own physical salon. So she's got the salon.
Right.
I think you got some friends, these have got physical salons, and they also then still have employees as well on the road. So yeah.
Jade's amazing. She's got two employees and a salon. Michelle up in Queensland, there's another one up in Queensland. She'll have three employees shortly and her own trailer and a salon. And the beauty is, no matter what happens, the fixed fee stays the same. So it kind of rewards you if you do want to work harder and grow that way. Some people don't want to. Some people sell splits. I was one of those people. I was a terrible employer. I made friends with all my employees. It was a nightmare. So I actually decided I was better selling splits, and I sold splits when I was a franchisee. But everyone can kind of do it differently. I had another guy, what he would do is build up his business, sell a split, then have the money from the split to buy another trailer, then put on an employee. So he was very clever with how he built his business as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can do that.
Do you want to outline just the fees real quickly? You don't have to say the amount, but it is a fixed fee model. And a lot of people, general misconception with franchising is they think every franchise takes 30 to 40% of whatever you make, right? And obviously we know that's not the case with gyms. So maybe just sort of outline a little bit about how the fees work and talk about that.
The beautiful thing with our fees, it is fixed no matter what happens. So if you have 10 trailers or one trailer, or you want to work 7 days a week or 3 days a week, it's just a fixed fee. It includes all the stuff that you need. So all of your paid advertising and marketing, and I know who manages all the advertising, Joel. So all the paid advertising, so we do booster posts on your page, regional advertising, marketing, also includes all of the support and ongoing training that you receive. So franchisors will contact you every week to catch up with you, check in, see if you need any help, regular meetings. And it also includes like all that technologies that you use in the background. So your booking, scheduling app, email address, all of those things. And it's just one fixed monthly fee that stays the same no matter what you do in your business. So it does really, if you work harder, you get to make more money. And that's really, really how it should be when you own your own business. And I had a girl recently, she had some bills come up. She didn't normally work weekends. So she said, you know what, I'll just work Saturday and Sunday, catch up on my bills. All of that money extra that she makes goes into her pocket. She doesn't ever have to pay any more to gyms. It's such a fair system. It really is.
Yeah, it's very flexible as well, depending on your circumstances. I've interviewed a lady in New Zealand called Megana, I think her name is.
Megana,
single mother. And she, yep. Single mother, and she's managed to work her business around, obviously, looking after her daughter, but she has the, she can drop her off school and pick her up, and also on the weekend sets up her trailer in her driveway, and she makes a good income, and it's flexible around her like that. I don't think there's many other businesses which would give that option to Megana to be able to do that.
Yeah. And a lot of there's no two franchisees that run their business the same way, because everyone kind of modifies it to fit their lives and their family and all the important things. Everybody runs it differently. There's some people that work, you know, weekends and have Monday and Tuesday off. When I was a franchisee, I never ever worked Mondays. The rationale was, you know, I'd have the weekend with the kids and then Monday they'd go off to school and then I could catch up with all the things that you would traditionally do on a weekend. So everybody's different, and it's such a flexible business because you're in charge of your bookings and how you do it, where you go and when you go.
And I was also going to say a unique part of the dog wash division, which I think is unique to gyms and franchising, is the franchisees can use social media accounts. They can post videos and they can do different things, which is, from talking to other people external to gyms, it's very unique to us. Most franchises are really restrictive and they go, you can't have it, or you can only post these 10 posts and that's it, which, you know, you'd lose out a lot of stuff and franchisees would get frustrated because dogs are a fantastic thing to put on socials, as you would know. So do you want to just talk a little bit about how social media usage for franchisees and how they are allowed to use it if they would like to?
So franchisees have their own business page that they have complete control over. We do have it set up as a, I don't know what the right word is, parent-child structure.
So there is... Right.
Yeah, so there is a main page that feeds posts down into those pages. So, you know, once a week or whatever it is, coming down from the main page will be an ad or something like that. But franchisees then can make their own page their own. And that might be just customers love to see photos of their dogs, makes their dogs famous. So, you know, there would be no point me putting a picture picture of one franchisee's dog on everybody's page. That way it'll reach those people. And then they can also say, you know, hey, I've got a cancellation today. They build up their own followers. And I think it's a really, a lot of organisations aren't quite up with social media and how important it is. And I see a lot of them still relying on really strange things. But what's happened, because of us letting our franchisees have that, it's grown our organisation. Because now, instead of me being able to reach 10,000 people on my one page, we can reach, you know, tens of thousands of people through all the individual pages as well. And so it's a benefit to us as well as them to give them that freedom. And they take ownership of it and they love it and they post regularly and do reels and videos. And it's amazing to see the stuff that they do. It really is. And it just gives them, again, that ownership of their business, and it's their responsibility. Like we do everything we can to support and help them. But if they need work, you know, they need to step up and take some responsibility as well. And it gives them that tool that everybody is using. And I think that's why we're up to so many unserviced leads, because our brand is kind of everywhere lately.
It is good. And I was going to say, yeah, it's a very unique part of Jim's. And I'll talk at a few things. When I tell this to people, we allow franchisees to post this stuff. They're like, oh, branding and messaging and stuff. But like, that's you know, that's 10 years ago, that sort of stuff. You know, I think that franchisees, if you look at some of their content, there's some really good stuff. There's a guy who does the Cavoodles and just some really, really good reels and stuff. And like that stuff, we can't create at head office, right? That needs to be a franchisee in the field. And that's really, really good stuff. And that helps the whole business. And I think franchisees as having ownership and having the ability to do that own marketing on that channel is a really unique part of Jim's, that they won't get in other systems, quite honest to say that.
It's amazing. And franchisees love it. And I think it's a big part of what makes Jim's so good, I guess, is that they've got that flexibility to be able to do that. They can take responsibility for their business and go out and get extra work without having to, you know, pay for leads or do anything like that. If they get out there and do it themselves, and that helps them take responsibility. I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, do you want to talk about the unserviced leads and what that means for someone who doesn't know what exactly that means?
Yeah, okay. So I haven't checked recently. Last time I looked, we were around about just under 40,000 for the year unserviced. So 40,000 people have rung our call center and we've said, sorry, we can't help you. The difficulty we have, and I don't know a lot about BISA, but Jim was saying they can't even sell our leads to other people because everybody is booked out. It's just an amazing time to be in dog grooming. There is so much work. We have franchisees that, you know, within a few weeks are fully booked and can't fit more jobs in. And again, it's one of those questions that a lot of franchisees say is that, you know, am I going to make enough money? There's no shortage of how much work that we can give you. It's just going to be about you going out the front door and going to work. But yeah, we have so many, and we get people. I had a person a couple of weeks ago emailed a complaint. She said, I keep ringing up trying to get a Jim's and I keep getting told there's no one in my area. And I look out my window and there's two trailers in my street.
Yeah, we get that one quite often. That's a pretty
Because they're fully booked. And that's the nature of it. And that's why these people then employ people, so they can fit more customers in, because there's only so many hours in the day. It's just not physically possible to fit more in. And then the next step is then to look at employing or selling a split or something. Some people are happy. My daughter's probably a good example. She's had her leads off for years. She doesn't take new customers and she's very happy. She's very particular now, because she's been able to, and if her customers aren't on a 6 or 8 weekly cycle, she doesn't rebook them. And all of her customers are easy. It's like driving around every day, visiting all her friends every day. And she hasn't taken new customers for I don't know how long. We get people coming to our door, you know, knocking on the door saying, we so desperately need a groomer. And my daughter will say, look, I just can't fit you in. It's just not possible. So yeah, there's a lot of unserviced work in dog wash.
And do you want to talk about now the paperwork guarantee? So obviously a lot of franchises have copied Jim's in income guarantee and it's promoted everywhere, but there's always strings attached to it, right? So I just want to, do you want to outline what the income guarantee is with Jim's Dog Wash and how that works and how that's there to help the franchisee?
I think the best thing and the most important difference between us and other guarantees is you don't have to pay it back. And you're paid in cash in the beginning when you need it. So I've heard of some franchises that guarantee the income, but they'll just credit your fees for the next 6 months. And in 6 months' time, when your business is successful, it doesn't matter if you get a credit. You need that money in the beginning, because that's why businesses fail, if they haven't got that cash flow. So gyms will pay you in cash at the end of every four-week cycle. They'll basically credit your fees at the end of the month and then send you the rest of the money. And it's so, so simple and the easiest thing in the world. I had a franchisee the other day, and this is a perfect example of how it works. She said to me, I can't get any free jobs. And I said, what do you mean? Everybody loves a free dog wash. So I joined all the buy, sell and swap in her area. And I just put a post up, free dog wash, send me a PM to see if your dog qualifies. I think I sent her about 35 jobs within an hour before I turned the ad off, because I couldn't keep up with it anymore. She'll go and do the dog wash for free. But a lot of people were saying, I don't even care if it's free. I'm so desperate for a groomer. Just come and do it and I'll pay you. Or I've got the three dogs, or, you know, all of these other things that come up. But basically, she'll go and do a free dog wash and the customer gets a chance to try us out without having to pay anything. Hopefully, they'll become a regular. Most of them do. But they'll also tell friends and family. So you'll build up your business really quickly. In the background, gyms will pay $60 every time you do a free dog wash. Most washes will take half an hour to 45 minutes. So you get a good hourly rate. If the customer then has a second dog, or if they need a groom, you can upsell those additional services and get paid directly from the customer. And it's a fantastic way. And I see, and it's really interesting, we put the pay for work up to $2,500. And it really hasn't made any impact on how much we're paying out, generally because those people will go out and they'll do more free jobs. So their business will pick up quicker than it was when we were offering it for $1,500. I think I found when we had the pay for work at $1,500 a week, someone might make $1,200 and they'd say, oh, you know, it's only $300. I can't be bothered to go out and get freebies. But if they make $1,200 and their pay for work is $2,500, they will go out and get those freebies and their business will explode. And I've heard of people that haven't needed it after their second month because their income is just over the top of the $2,500
minimum. Because it's, as you would know from your experience talking to people, it's generally a massive worry that it's hard to pull yourself away from that corporate income or that fortnightly income and then come into that. Whereas with this, we hope that that's the thing that just gives them that extra level of security, knowing that they can make that mortgage payment.
And it's scary. Yeah. It's very scary. Yeah. And you hear so much in the media about how many businesses fail. I don't know. I think it's something like 95% of small businesses fail in the first 12 months. So we had this idea in our head that it's a really risky thing and it's so frightening and scary. But once you've got that income guarantee and you've got that cash flow, you can pay your bills and you can feed your family while you're growing your business and getting it to that level. Most small businesses fail, I think, because of the lack of cash flow. So if you haven't got any money coming in, how do you put petrol in your car to get to the job to get the money?
Yeah.
So this way we know, and you know, most of our franchisees make more than the $2,500, and you're certainly able to, but at least we know that you're never going to drop below it and you'll be able to pay all your bills and keep your family fed, which are all the important ones.
Yeah, and I'd say to anyone as well who's watching this is maybe doesn't believe what we're saying too much, I'd just say check out the interviews with franchisees, because they, you know, it's an hour or 45 minutes we talk to them. It's all unedited and from start to finish, and just hear what they say. And, you know, it's amazing to hear their stories from, you know, this job, which they, you know, was getting really on their mind. And then they took that step and then to see where they are in 3 months, 4 months time. And they're just smiling ear to ear and all say the same thing. I should have done it years ago and there's nothing to worry about. I should have just did it a long time ago. It's amazing.
To grow and blossom as well. I think it gives them so much confidence in themselves. They do become much, I don't know what the word is, just a much happier, better, more confident version of who they were when they first started, because there's no boss breathing down your neck. There's no one giving you grief. You're gaining confidence in your skills and you're responsible for your own income. And it's a pretty amazing thing that you can just pay your bills. You don't have to stress about it. That was one of the big drivers for me to get into business. I just wanted to just be able to pay my bills. I don't want to be rich. I don't care about yachts and Porsches or anything. I just want to be able to pay my bills. That's all. Have a nice life and not stress about how I'm going to pay my phone bill. And that, just having that ability to do that, changes you as a person, I think.
since coming into gyms back when you started, what has it been? What has it meant to you? What have you been at? What's the business helped you do, and what's the lifestyle you now lead because of it?
Wow, it's been amazing. Like I used to have a really weird way of running our home life. So we had about 10 credit cards, and what we would do is we would max all the credit cards out, and then we'd refinance a house, pay them out, and then do it again. So depending on where I was in the cycle, but we were living way, way beyond our means, and we weren't doing anything out of the ordinary. It's just very expensive to have three kids in private schools and all the other stuff that we had. When I bought the business, obviously I started as a cleaning franchisee on my own. My husband was still in the coal mines working night shift. Very quickly, it just exploded. So in the end, he took long service leave. And we said, you know, if you don't need the money, you don't have to touch it, then you quit your job, because no one quits a coal mining job. They're such a well-paid job. Anyway, so within a couple of months, I think weeks even, he quit his job. So basically we worked, and we had a great income. I had all my kids employed and their partners and friends and family. And then I became a franchisor. And I think I just found where my passion laid. I loved helping people. I loved looking after people. I loved solving problems, fixing things. And it became like, it took me till I was in my 40s to find the thing that I loved more than anything in the whole world. Since that time, well, obviously my husband works for me. He's kind of my secretary now, but he's mostly unemployed. He doesn't do a real lot. But my daughter has a franchise, and my youngest daughter's partner also operates a dog wash franchise. We have two houses now, and we alternate between the two. And I guess a big thing, when I bought my initial franchise, I had no money, had nothing. I couldn't get a loan. I couldn't get a single cent together. Anyway, I sold my husband's motorbike to buy the franchise. And I said to him at the time, you know, I promise I'll make it up to you. Anyway, so somehow he's very passionate about flying, and somehow it worked out. That's what he wanted. So I bought him an aeroplane. So now he's got two, and he actually has his own hangar on an airport with a house that we alternate. And it's very, like, we sit there, and it's down in Tamora. So there's a museum. They said, we can sit out the back veranda, and tiger moths and all sorts of things are flying by. I'm not that interested in planes, but it's his thing. But it's pretty amazing. So last week we just jumped in the plane and went to Hay for lunch, just because we could. It's a big, big change from where I was, that we couldn't even afford to pay our bills, and we were so maxed out on credit cards, to now having this lifestyle. And I still work hard. Don't get me wrong. My husband does not work hard. I can tell you that now. But he works so hard. Like night shift, he did, when the kids were small, we only could afford one car between us. So he would drive home from night shift. I'd jump in the car and go to work. He'd have to get the kids ready for school. Then he'd come home and go to bed. He'd get 6 hours sleep if he was lucky. Then he'd have to get up and get the kids from school. I'd get home at 6 or 7 o'clock from my job. We'd have dinner, and then the kids would go to bed, and then he'd go back to work again. And that was his life. So it's pretty amazing that we've been able to make those changes, that he doesn't have to do night shift like that. It's awful. It's a horrible thing to do to your body.
Upgrade from the motorbike to two planes. So it's good of him to let you.
Me, I like doing macrame and bushwalking. No, he likes aeroplanes. That's kind of his thing.
Oh, well, now you've got a private plane and you can just go wherever you need. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great story, though, to share, because you know, we have a lot of franchisees who come in with similar sort of stories where it's, you know, they borrowed or whatever to buy it, and then to see where they go, you know, in 2 to 3 years' time is quite
remarkable.
Never
expected it. Never expected. And it's not that, you know, I've done anything special. I've just bought into Jim's system and followed it. I haven't done anything out of the ordinary. And it's something that every single person can do. There's no reason why they can't.
Cool, weren't you, until you got the book from Jim? So Jim has a book which he puts out, which is like mini autobiography in a way, which is available from our website for free. But you were very skeptical until you read that book, weren't you?
So what happened was, I just decided I didn't want a boss anymore. That was it. And I gave myself a certain amount of time over the Christmas break to find something else. So I looked at everything, and Jim's came up, and I looked at that and had a chat to the franchisor. And I just thought, oh, you know, I don't want to be a cleaner, and I don't really want to be in a franchise. I'm a bit scared and skeptical, because I kind of, you hear all the bad media as well. Anyway, my franchisor at the time sent me Jim's book, And I just kind of put it aside because I'd already decided I wasn't going to do it. But my husband read it and he kept saying, oh my goodness, Sharon, you've got to read this book. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Anyway, I read the book and I finished the last page and I literally put it down, picked up the computer and emailed my franchisor and said, how do I sign up? And I loved the ethos. I love that we can be in business and not rip people off and help people and then get financial benefits as a side effect, really. You know, it's rewarding and it's, I don't even know, it's just the ethos of the organization. It's focused on franchisees and their well-being. It's not focused on, you know, Jim's group making money. And that's the difference. I think a lot of franchises are back to front with the way they're recruiting franchisees, but they couldn't care less about them. They're after the money. Whereas as a franchisee, you have all the rights, all the benefits, and everything is focused on looking after you. It's a very amazing, I think there was one quote in Jim's book, which was the real decider for me. And what happened was it was when he was selling mowing franchises and he had someone come in and I might've been VIP or something. And the other franchise was cheaper than Jim's. And Jim said to him, well, you know, you don't have as much money. You'd be better to go with them then, because it's always about what's in that person's best interest rather than us thinking, oh my gosh, we'll reduce it down so we can get a bit more money. Jim said, no, you should go with them if that's the case, because it's what's best for you, not what's best for me. And I love that. And I try and live that every day because I think that's what makes us successful if we're not focused on our bank accounts.
We've gone from reading the book to being in it now. So I think you're in the book as well. So it's on Audible as well for people. So if Audible, Jim's a big audio book listener, so every customer, a raving fan's there, and he updates it every 2 years. Book.
I get a stack of them. Back in the day before Zoom, I used to go and meet with everybody in person. So they used to get a Jim's book and a Jim's dog wash folder. When I was in his book, I used to highlight the paragraph with me and put a business card in there just so they couldn't see it.
Mark, that's good. That's good social proof, good credibility with that one for sure. But I was going to say as well, now, another thing you mentioned, which I think we should be talking about a little bit sometimes, is privately owned franchise system, which Jim's is, compared to the private equity or the external money who owns it as a business conglomerate, because that's a big important thing when people buy a franchise. Because if you buy one with private equity or where it's got some public investment, the duty is not primary to the franchise, it's to the shareholder. Whereas a private one like Jim's, Jim is the owner, he's the boss, his first duty is to the franchisees, which I think people don't realise, but it's really, really important.
And I've heard Jim say it a few times now that we won't ever be that set up because it can't ever be about money. There's franchises, and that's why I go to franchisee training. There's this, and I know because I was one of them, this little frightened, terrified franchisee that's about to change their entire life. And it's such a scary, huge, exciting, frightening thing. And if we lose sight of those individuals, then you end up being about money. And then it just kind of, I think that's why Jim's has been so successful. How many franchisees do we have now?
We've nearly got 5,300. Yeah, nearly.
It's because we focus on the franchisees and their success. And then every franchisee that's successful will tell other people, and that's how it grows. If you're in an organization where nobody cares about you and you're just a number and a dollar, you're going to tell other people, and then those people aren't going to buy a franchise. So it's kind of a self-defeating problem with some of those other groups, unfortunately, that we don't have, thank goodness.
The outsiders looking in, they think Jim's a billionaire or he's pulling in $500 million a year, and I assure you, if he wanted to, the franchise system would not be the way it is. The fees are really, really fair. And like, if you're looking at it from a business point of view, and if you wanted to purely make a lot of money for yourself, the way we do our fee structure would be revenue based, and it would be 30% to 40%, like what other franchises doing. Jim would be a lot, maybe be to that level of money, which people think he has, but it's nowhere near.
I hear all the time in my meetings, people say, this is just too good to be true. Why isn't everyone doing it? And I'm like, well, we haven't gotten to everyone yet. Because if you want to be in business, it's exactly the same as operating your own business, but you've got all of those amazing things that are going to make sure that you're successful. And it's, we just haven't got to everyone. I think we've got capacity to have quadruple franchisees or more.
Well, especially in your division, just with the amount of unserviced there is. So what sort of, What sort of numbers do you think you could get to? What's the limit?
I'd love to get to 1,000. That's my goal. And Jim's goal, I think I overheard him say as well. 1,000 would be a good number. I don't think it would be the end of it. I think you could still keep going. And if you look at the unserviced lead reports, we find that the largest amount of unserviced leads are where we have the most franchisees. If you look at Southern Sydney is a really good example. It's almost landlocked. There's very few territories left, but that is the area where we get the most amount of unserviced leads because there's more franchisees driving around. There's more franchisees posting on social media. And I think if that was duplicated the whole way across Australia, we'd probably be getting, I don't know, 15 million times more unserviced leads. I don't think there's an upper limit. I'd love to get to 1,000. That would be my goal at this point, but I think there's no limit.
And with there's obviously a lot of dog wash options now coming into the market. There seems to be, obviously we follow franchising stuff, so we see all the different sort of things that are going around, but what's the, if the prospects, listening to this and they might be looking at a few other options, what you have done, what would you say to them? What's the best thing that they can do to maybe learn more a little bit?
Yeah. Try them all out. Do a trial day with every single company. Speak to everybody. Get a list of every single franchisee in the group and call them all. Just speak to franchisees about what their experience is and do as many days with them as you possibly can. This is a big investment. You wouldn't just buy a house and go, oh yeah, I'll buy that house. You go in there and you try it out and you walk through it and you get a feel for it. Imagine yourself in the kitchen making cups of tea or whatever. It's the same thing with this. You really need to test drive every single one. And I usually say to people, make sure you're comparing apples with apples. That's a really big one as well, because different offerings, different setups, every franchise is different. And there are some models that are better for other people. You know, there's another dog grooming franchise and their model is really good for people that don't want to have a business. They kind of want to have a job. And that's an excellent model for them. They don't want to have the responsibility of doing those things. They want to be given the jobs and go and do them. So not all franchises are perfect for everyone. Even dog gyms isn't perfect for everybody. So, I recommend that you try them all out. See what you think. Speak to the franchisees, look at the income, look at the jobs, find out how much they're charging for each job. Give you as much information as possible so you can go, okay, the benefits of this one is this, but the benefits of this one is this. So this one is actually going to be a better fit for me than this one because everything's different. And certainly, those models work very well for other people. Maybe you might be better there. Maybe you might be better not having a franchise. It just depends on your personality. And that's why we kind of take them through so many steps of research before they finally make that final decision. And that's a big one. They don't sign their contracts until they finish their business training. That's a really, really important difference. Most franchises will make you sign all these disclosure things and all sorts of stuff. We don't. Come down to training, do your 4 days of training, get all the information, get a feel for the organization, and then decide if you want to come on board. And that's different to any franchise I've ever heard of that we do that.
It's a very good point. The training is generally hidden by a lot of franchises. You can go to YouTube channel and literally see a lot of the training. Even Jim's Ethos is there in full. And also as you said, that you don't have to sign an agreement before you come to training, and which is, as you said, it's unheard of in the franchising world, and just shows how much trust and transparency Jim has and wants to have in the organization. I think as well, it's important to point out that every franchisee at training meets Jim and has the ability to chat with him and gets his mobile number and email and all sort of stuff as well.
I still remember the first time I met Jim at training as a franchisee, and I was so surprised that I had this idea that he was this huge man, and he was this tiny little man. I was so surprised. And I remember speaking to him the first time being so completely overwhelmed that I couldn't believe that he was talking to me. I felt like he was some big famous person. And then he put his phone number up on the board that I could ring him. I couldn't believe that. And I did, when I was a franchisee, I did email Jim. And it's a funny story I say to people. So what happened was my franchisor at that time was overseas, and it was when I first started. So I think he went overseas not long after, and I got my first referral and I was so happy. I converted it. And I came home and told my husband, I'm like, I just want to tell someone. I'm so excited it all works. And he said, well, email Jim. I went, okay, I will. So I emailed Jim and I said, oh, Jim, my franchisor's away, but I just want to tell you, I got my first referral and how happy I am. Anyway, so it didn't work out the way I expected because Jim just forwarded my email to my franchisor and blasted him, "Why aren't you supporting this franchisee?" So it wasn't quite what I expected. But again, it shows Jim is so focused on making sure that I'm supported adequately, that there is someone there to share those goods and bads and things. And the next day I got a call from the stand-in franchisor because my mum was away. But he was so focused on looking after me that he kind of forgot to say, "Well done, Sharon," which was kind of all I wanted.
That's a good thing. It definitely sums him up. And yeah, he responds within an hour to anyone when it's weekends and nights. And you know, quite often people don't know, but he has his phone. And if the franchisee's got a problem, he'll put him on speaker and walk to the person whose area is responsible for and try and sort it out for him. So yeah, it's quite unique. And if people are astounded that for someone of his stature has so much to do it at the ground level with an organisation. I think that's the beauty of Jim's, whereas I'm not too sure about other systems, but I don't think the managing director or CEOs are taking or putting their mobile number.
Phone calls up from franchisees.
Yeah. No, so whereas Jim is accessible to everyone, and that's like sort of a unique feature of the system. Now, Sharon, is there anything I should ask you before we let you go today? Or actually, the big thing I should ask you is, how can someone learn more about it? What do they need to do?
Ring 1-2-1-546. Whatever division that, hopefully it's Dogwash, but whatever division that you're passionate about. And I get that a lot from people saying, you know, which one should I go with? They're all the same. We all sign the same contract, but what do you love doing? And if you love the idea of working with dogs and grooming, give us a call. Website, jimsdogwash.net.au, 131546, email, text, whatever it is. But yeah, get in contact with us. We can have a quick chat and organise for you to go and do a trial day. See if you like it. That's the most important one.
Absolutely. And I'd say to people, those that want to do some more research, there's a lot of dog wash interviews we've done with franchisees on our YouTube channel. They're all unedited as well. So the thing is, people, we keep everything in there. So if they've had a good experience, bad experience, it's some things, whatever, it's all in there. So we try and be real transparent. And we find that a lot of prospects in training now will listen to, you know, a few, eight of those or whatever, and then they'll inquire or they'll help them get them over, you know, a bit more.
But it's an idea. And I think rather than sitting there ringing each individual franchisee, you can just watch a video of them talking about their experience. It's very good.
We found a few that like work night shift or whatever, and they've obviously worked alone. They put the podcast in, they'll listen to it. And, you know, they'll listen to maybe three or four of franchisees talking, and that sort of just helps them. Now, it's more of the modern way, I guess, to sort of find out. Obviously, a lot of franchises still, you know, send us information or whatever, but I think with Jim's, we've got so much online video that people can consume. That's really transparent and honest. And I think that's something that I would advise people as well, not only to go on an observation day, but if they're thinking about it, listen to some of the other franchisees' stories, because they outline it all for everyone. So,
very good.
But thank you very much for your time today, Sharon. We appreciate it. Good
Thank
to see you,
for your
again.
Time. I'll
Good
see
to see you.
Next week.
And look, oh, I'll say at the end, people might not know, but Sharon's probably one of Jim's top franchisors. He always mentions Sharon as well, and you're in the book. So people read every customer raving fan. You'll see Sharon mentioned there quite a lot. And, you know, if we had another 10 of you, Sharon, we'd be at 10,000 franchisees. So Sharon's a bit of a legend in the group as well. So people don't know, you see all the awards in the background. In the background there. That's all for franchisee support. You're also in the Hall of Fame as well. So that one on the bottom is for the Jim's Group Hall of Fame. I think there's not many people in there. So well done to yourself in there. It's a great story what you've done. And it's really, really good to see, you know, how the Jim's vehicle and what your entrepreneurship and ingenuity has been able to do with the division. You probably are one of the quickest growing franchise divisions in Australia from any brand when you think about it objectively. So well done to yourself and Ben and your team who help you out.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the Jim's Podcast. If you want to learn more about the Jim's Group, head to jims.net or call us on 131 546 Australia or 0800 454 654 New Zealand. And if you did like the episode as well, please make sure you leave a review or a comment or a thumbs up or a comment on the video as well. We appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.